This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
All right, so today we're going to be diving into SEO tactics.
That's good.
And all the different ways we can boost website traffic using SEO. And specifically, we're going to be looking at keys to increasing your site's traffic with well-planned SEO tactics by Chris Bradley.
Yeah.
Of Double Dome Digital Marketing.
Great source.
Yeah. It's there's a lot in here, so we're going to really try to distill it down into some key takeaways.
Yeah, make it practical for folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's, I guess, jump right into it. The source jumps right into keywords, kind of emphasizing that they're the foundation of SEO.
Yeah, really are.
And even kind of hints at that, 80-20 principle when it comes to keywords.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a, it's applicable to so many things, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely to SEO too.
And you know, when it comes to SEO and keywords, it can be really tempting to try to be everything to everyone and try to get every keyword.
You got to be strategic.
Yeah. What are your, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, you really have to kind of focus your energy, right? So if you try to capture every single keyword under the sun, you're gonna spend a lot of energy and probably not see the results you want.
Right.
So it really is about focusing on the keywords that are going to drive the right traffic to your site. The ones that are most likely to convert.
So it's not just about getting like the most traffic, but getting the best traffic.
Right. The most qualified traffic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So the source also talks about, using kind of elements of your business as kind of starting points for those keywords, like services offered, location.
Absolutely. That's a great starting point.
Yeah. It seems pretty intuitive, right?
Yeah. And, I think it's important to remember kind of the why behind that.
Okay.
Imagine your search engine, right?
And you're trying to connect users with the most relevant content. So if you're a bakery in New York City, right?
Okay.
Using keywords like artisan bread NYC or custom cakes Manhattan tells the search engines exactly what you offer and where you are.
Right. That's like you're giving them the signal. Like,
yeah, you're signaling exactly what you do and where you do it.
Okay.
And that helps the search engine connect you with users who are looking for those specific things in that specific location.
Okay. So it's not just about getting visitors, but it's about attracting the right visitors, the ones that are most likely to, buy bread or buy a cake in that
confirmed.
In that location.
Exactly. Those are the people you want to reach.
Gotcha. Okay.
So thinking about your keywords in terms of how a search engine might understand them can be a really useful exercise.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. So the source also mentioned several keyword research tools.
Oh, yeah. There are
tons of them out there.
I feel like browser extensions, Google Ads, Keyword Planner.
Yep.
Even Google Search itself.
Right. Good old Google.
Yeah. I thought using Google Search as a research tool was kind of a fascinating idea. Can you kind of elaborate on that? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's really simple, but it's effective.
Okay.
Basically, when you start typing a phrase into Google, notice that auto-suggest dropdown that pops up.
Yeah.
So those are real-time insights into what people are actually searching for.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you type in SEO,
right,
you might see suggestions like SEO tips for beginners.
Okay.
Or SEO tools free.
Okay.
So these are these suggestions show you what people are actually searching for.
So it's like a real time kind of.
Yeah, it's like a window into the minds of searchers.
Yeah, what's hot? What's what people are searching for?
It's your feedback loop.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
And then as far as keywords go, the source also talks about using like variations of keywords. And including specific services that you offer.
Right. So, you don't want to just use the same keyword over and over again. Mm-hmm. You want to use variations of it, related terms.
Right.
And you definitely want to include, if you offer specific services, make sure you're mentioning those in your keywords too.
Okay. So it's not just bakery.
Yeah.
It's, sourdough and baguettes and.
Exactly. Gluten-free bread.
Yeah.
Whatever those specific services are.
Gotcha. And what about long tail keywords?
Oh yeah, those are great.
I've heard that term thrown around.
Yeah.
Can you?
They can be really effective.
Yeah, can you?
They're longer, more specific phrases.
Okay.
You know, they might have lower overall search volume, but they target a niche audience with higher purchase intent. So for example, instead of just targeting the keyword coffee, a long tail keyword could be organic fair trade coffee beans online.
So it's longer.
Longer, but it's more specific.
Exactly. So I guess the person searching for that is more serious about buying.
Exactly. Yeah. They know exactly what they want, and they're probably closer to making a purchase.
Okay. So it's like you said, it's attracting a smaller, more qualified.
Exactly. Buyer. It's laser focused targeting.
Gotcha. Okay.
And those long tail keywords can be really valuable for driving conversions.
Okay. And then moving on from keywords, the source talks about website organization.
Oh yeah, that's crucial.
And uses this kind of clever analogy about, you know, your website is a physical store.
Yeah, I like that analogy.
Yeah. So I guess what they're saying is, you know, you don't want your store to be a confusing maze, right?
Right.
You want it to be laid out in a way that the customers can easily find what they're looking for.
You want them to. You want them to be able to navigate easily and find what they need without getting lost.
Right.
And that's where site structure comes in.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about organizing your website in a logical way.
Right.
That makes sense for both users and search engines.
Yeah. And the source uses this analogy of a tree with the homepage as the trunk of the tree.
Yeah, I like that, the tree analogy.
Yeah, and then branching out to categories and subcategories.
Yeah, so the homepage is, you know, your main hub.
Right.
And then you've got your main categories branching out from there.
Right.
And then subcategories branching out from those.
Right.
And this kind of, you know, clear hierarchy not only improves user experience, but it also makes it easier for search engines to crawl and index your site.
Gotcha. Okay. And they provide an example structure. They say, you know, homepage, then locations,
right,
and services,
yeah,
and then contact.
That's just one example, though.
Yeah. And so that's...
You know, there are many different ways to structure a website.
Okay.
But the key is to think about your own content and your own goals and create a structure that makes sense for you.
So if you're a big e-commerce site...
Right. If you're a large e-commerce site,
it's going to be a lot.
It's going to be way more complex than a small business website.
Right. Or like that local bakery.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's all about that logical flow.
Right. Logical flow is key.
To both users and search engines.
Yeah. You want to make sure that both users and search engines can easily understand how your site is organized.
Gotcha. And what about the, I guess, like the actual URLs themselves?
Oh, yeah, URL structure is important too.
Okay.
You know, search engines use URLs to understand the content of a page.
Okay.
So clear, descriptive URLs that use relevant keywords are much better than generic URLs. So for example, you know, if you have a page about SEO audits,
right,
you might want to use a URL like yoursite.com/service CO audit.
Okay.
Rather than something like yoursite.com page 123.
Right. Okay. So it's really about clarity.
Clarity and relevance.
And making it easy for people.
Yeah. You want to make it easy for both users and search engines.
Understand what that page is about.
Exactly.
And wouldn't, you know, a good internal linking strategy also kind of help with that logical flow?
Oh, absolutely. Internal linking is really important.
Okay.
So internal links are basically links within your own site that connect different pages.
Okay.
And they're important for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
First of all, they help users navigate your site.
Okay.
You know, if they're on one page and they want to learn more about a related topic,
right,
they can click on an internal link to go to that page.
Gotcha.
But internal links are also important for SEO because they help distribute link equity. So basically, when you have a lot of internal links pointing to a page, it tells search engines that page is important.
Gotcha. So it's like giving a little boost.
Exactly.
Okay.
So yeah, internal linking is definitely something to keep in mind.
Okay. So it's kind of like creating those pathways within your website.
Yeah.
To make it easier for people to.
Yeah, exactly. Like creating pathways.
Your search engines to navigate.
Yeah. Think of it like you know, creating a network of roads within your site.
Right.
That makes it easy for everyone to get around.
Okay. And so moving on. Kind of to on-page optimization, which is all about those fine-tuning individual pages.
Yeah, it's about optimizing each individual page on your site
yeah.
to make sure it's performing as well as it can.
For maximum impact.
Exactly.
Okay, and let's start with page titles.
Oh, yeah. Page titles are really important.
Yeah, those are the, I guess, the headlines in those.
Yeah, think of them as the headlines of your web pages. Yeah.
They're what show up in search results.
Right.
And in browser tabs.
Yeah.
So it's really important to make sure that they accurately reflect the content of the page.
Right. And the source kind of recommends using a variety of keywords.
Yes.
You know, within the page titles to make sure that.
Yeah, you want to make sure that you're using relevant keywords.
That it accurately reflects.
But you also don't want to stuff them in there.
Content.
Right. Yeah. You want to make sure that it sounds natural.
So it's kind of a balance there of.
It is. It's a balancing act.
Making sure it's descriptive and accurate.
Exactly.
And also not.
Yeah. You don't want to overdo it.
Keyword stuffing. Right.
Right. Exactly. Because that can actually hurt you.
Gotcha. And what about including like business location in the page title?
Oh, yeah. That's especially important for local businesses.
Okay.
You know, if you have a physical location, right. you want to make sure that people know where you are.
So if someone's searching for Best Pizza Brooklyn.
Okay.
You know, and your page title is Best Pizza in Brooklyn, your pizzeria name.
Okay.
That's going to be much more likely to attract clicks from people who are in Brooklyn.
Right. So it's that extra layer of context.
Yeah. It's like giving them a little extra information.
For the search engines to understand.
Right. It helps the search engines understand that you're relevant to that search.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely include your location in your page titles if you have a physical location.
Okay. And then I guess don't forget to include the brand name in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Brand name is important.
For consistency.
Yeah. You want to make sure that your brand is consistent across all of your online platforms.
Right.
So including it in your page titles is a good way to do that.
Makes sense. And then the source talks about adding a call to action to the page title as well.
Oh, yeah. Calls to action are always a good idea.
Okay.
You know, you want to encourage people to take action. So instead of just having a page title that says SEO services,
okay.
you might want to say, get a free SEO audit today, your company.
So it's more enticing, right?
Yeah, it's more actionable.
It yeah.
tells people what you want them to do.
Okay, so it's not just about, you know, the SEO of it, but it's also about making it more clickable.
Exactly. Yeah. You want to attract those clicks.
Okay, and then... I guess let's talk about the content itself now.
Okay. Yeah. Content is king, as they say.
Yeah. And the source, you know, talks about how nobody wants to stare at a wall of text.
Right. Nobody likes to read a giant block of text.
Right. It's like.
It can be really overwhelming.
Yeah. Overwhelming. And.
Yeah. And it's just, it's not very engaging.
Yeah. And intimidating.
Exactly.
It's a, I guess, like you were saying, it's like you were hoping for an engaging article and you got a textbook instead.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, you want to make it easy for people to read and digest the information.
Right.
So breaking up the text with headers, bullet points, images, videos, all that kind of stuff can make a big difference.
So it's not just about the, you know, the content, but also the way.
Right. It's the presentation, too.
Yeah. That it's presented.
Yeah. Presentation matters.
Yeah.
You want to make it, you know, visually appealing as well as informative.
So I guess then how do we ensure that the content is, I guess, engaging, but mm-hmm. also.
Yeah. How do you strike that balance?
Yeah. Like optimize for the search engines.
Right. You want to make sure that your content is both readable and optimized for search engines.
Right.
And that can be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
But it's definitely possible.
Okay.
So the first thing is to use keywords naturally within the content.
Okay.
But avoid keyword stuffing.
Right.
You know, don't just cram a bunch of keywords in there.
Yeah. Like I've definitely seen that where it's just like.
Oh, yeah. It's really obvious when people do that.
Yeah, it's just like a robot trying to write content, right?
Yeah, it sounds really unnatural.
Right.
And search engines can tell. Okay. They can tell when you're trying to game the system.
Okay, gotcha.
So focus on creating high-quality, informative content that actually answers people's questions.
Okay.
And provides genuine value.
Right, so it's about writing for humans first and then...
Right, write for humans first.
Keeping the search engines in mind.
Exactly. If your content is good for humans, it'll be good for search engines too.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, they're getting better and better at understanding natural language.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So just focus on creating great content.
Okay, so that's kind of the basis there.
Yeah, that's the foundation.
Yeah, so we've talked about targeting those the right keywords,
right?
You know, looking at our website structure and making sure that's easy to understand.
Make it easy to navigate.
And then on-page optimization, making sure each page is fine-tuned.
Make it user-friendly.
Yeah. And we're only getting started, right?
Oh, yeah. We've just scratched the surface.
There's a lot more.
There's a whole lot more to SEO.
Yeah, to SEO. So
but this is a good good foundation,
yeah.
A good starting point.
All right. Sounds good. So the source talks about link building as a way to kind of boost your website's authority. And it sounds a little bit like networking.
Yeah.
For websites.
It is. It's kind of like building relationships, but in the online world.
Okay. So how does that work? What do they mean by link building?
Well, essentially, links from other websites act as votes of confidence. You know, so when a reputable site links to yours, it signals to search engines that your content is valuable and trustworthy.
So it's not just about how many links you have.
No, right. It's about the quality of those links.
Who's linking to you?
Exactly. So, you know, a link from a well-established industry blog is going to hold a lot more weight than a link from, you know, or random forum comment.
Right. Okay. So it's kind of like in the real world. You know, if you get a recommendation from like a respected expert,
exactly.
That holds more weight than
it carries more weight.
Some random person. Right.
Exactly. It's the same idea with link building.
Okay. And so the source suggests guest blogging.
Yeah. Guest blogging is a great way to build links.
As one way to build these links. How does that work?
So guest blogging basically involves writing and publishing articles on other websites within your niche.
Okay.
So you're contributing valuable content to their audience.
Okay.
And in return, you usually get to include a link back to your own website.
Okay. So it's kind of a win-win there.
Yeah. It's a win-win.
They get
a great content. You get a valuable backlink.
Yeah. More exposure. Yeah.
Yeah.
The source also mentions creating shareable content.
Right. Shareable content is gold.
Okay.
When it comes to link building.
Yeah. As another link building strategy.
So the idea here is to create content that's so valuable and engaging that other websites and individuals naturally want to share it and link to it.
Okay, so if your content's really good.
Right, if it's truly exceptional.
The links will come.
Links will come
naturally. Yeah.
Okay, so what about, I guess, like proactively reaching out to other website owners?
Yeah, that's definitely part of the strategy, too.
Okay.
You know, building relationships with other bloggers, industry influencers, website owners in your niche can really open doors to link building opportunities.
So it really is about networking.
Yeah, it's about building those connections.
Okay, so it's kind of like, I guess building a solid network online is just as important as...
It's just as important as offline.
In the real world.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then shifting gears a little bit here.
Okay.
The source talks about mobile friendliness.
Oh, yeah. That's essential these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which makes sense. You know, everyone's on their phones.
Right. Everybody's on their smartphones.
So what do they mean by, I guess, what does it mean for a website to be mobile friendly?
Well, it goes beyond just being viewable on a smaller screen.
Yep.
You know, a truly mobile friendly website offers a seamless experience across all devices.
Okay. So that means responsive design.
Exactly. Responsive design is key.
Where it adjusts to different screen sizes.
Right. The layout adjusts dynamically
to
different screen sizes, so it's easy to navigate.
So no more like zooming and pinching?
No more pinching and zooming.
But to try to.
Yeah. No more tiny text.
Yeah.
You want it to be easy to read.
Yeah. And easy to use and navigate.
Yeah. Navigation is key.
Okay. So fast loading times are also.
Oh, yeah. Speed is crucial.
More important.
Especially on mobile.
Okay.
You know, people are impatient.
Right.
If your site takes too long to load, they're going to bounce.
Yeah. So if it's not loading right away, I'm out of there.
Yeah. You got to keep people engaged.
Okay. So is there anything else as far as that mobile experience goes that we should consider?
Well, think about touch-friendly navigation.
Okay.
You know, make sure that your buttons and menus are large enough to be easily tapped with a finger.
Okay. So not
you don't want those tiny little links.
Yeah. Not fiddly little things.
Right.
Okay, so it's really about just thinking, putting yourself in the shoes of a mobile user.
Yeah, empathize with the user.
Okay.
Think about how they're going to be interacting with your site.
Okay, and make sure it's...
And make sure it's a smooth experience.
Smooth, enjoyable, and frustration-free experience.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then, let's see, the source also talks about social media.
Yeah, social media can be a great way to boost your visibility.
Okay.
And drive traffic to your site.
Okay, and it's kind of a, I guess, I always think of it as like a megaphone for your content.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You know, it's like
it amplifies your reach.
Amplifying that reach.
So, you know, when you share your content on social media,
right,
you're exposing it to a much wider audience.
Okay.
And that can lead to more website visits, shares, backlinks, you know, all of which can indirectly contribute to your SEO efforts.
Okay, so even though it's not like a direct ranking factor,
right,
it still plays a part.
It's an indirect factor.
Yeah.
And it's still important.
That engagement and traffic.
Yeah, it's all part of a holistic online presence.
Okay, so it's not just about the website. It's about all the things.
That's about the whole ecosystem.
Okay. So one thing this source doesn't really talk about is image optimization.
Oh, yeah. Image optimization is important.
Yeah. So do images actually play a role in SEO?
They do. They definitely do.
Okay.
You know, search engines can't see images the way that we can.
Right.
So we have to provide context for them.
Okay.
Through descriptive file names and alt text.
So when I save an image,
right,
instead of saving it as like, you know, IMG 12.3.4 or something.
Right. Get rid of those generic file names.
I should name it, you know, like if it's cookies, I should name it chocolate chip cookies or something.
Exactly. Use descriptive file names that accurately reflect what the image is about.
Okay. And then what is alt text?
So alt text is a short description of the image that appears if the image can't be displayed for some reason.
Okay.
So it helps search engines understand what the image is about.
Okay.
And it also improves accessibility for users with visual impairments who might be using screen readers.
Gotcha. So it's kind of like every little thing counts when it comes to...
It does.
SEO, huh?
Yeah, it's all those little details that add up.
Okay, and then the source also talks about local SEO, which is something I've heard about.
Oh, yeah, local SEO is crucial for businesses with a physical location.
Okay, can you kind of just break that down? What does that even mean, local SEO?
So local SEO is basically a specialized branch of SEO that focuses on attracting customers from a specific geographic area. So if you have a physical store,
right,
or you offer services in a particular location,
okay,
local SEO is all about making sure that you show up in search results,
right,
when people are searching for those things in your area.
So like if I'm on my phone, and I search for best pizza Brooklyn.
Exactly. You want the pizzerias in Brooklyn.
The places in Brooklyn to show up.
Yeah.
And ideally, like, close to where I am.
Ideally, the ones closest to you.
At the top. Right.
Yeah. That's the goal of local SEO.
Okay. So the source talks about claiming and optimizing your Google My Business listing.
Oh, yeah. Your GMB listing is, it's like your online storefront on Google.
Okay.
It's often the first thing that people see when they're searching for businesses like yours.
Okay. So what kind of information should we be including in our GMB listing?
Well, make sure you include all the basics, you know, your business name, address, phone number, website, URL, hours of operation, a concise description of what you offer. Upload some high quality photos of your storefront, your products, your services.
Okay.
And encourage your happy customers to leave reviews.
Okay, yeah.
Because positive reviews can really make a difference.
Okay, so it's kind of like, I guess, creating this like mini website.
Hey, it's like a little mini website.
For your business,
right. For local.
But for local.
Exactly, yeah. It's a great way to attract local customers.
Okay, and then they also talk about building citations, which...
citations are important for local SEO, too.
I always think about citations in, like, academic research.
Yeah, I know, it's a little confusing.
So how does that work with SEO?
So in the SEO world, a citation is basically just a mention of your business's name, address, and phone number on other websites.
Okay.
So think online directories, industry-specific websites, local community forums, you know, all those kinds of places.
Okay.
And the more places your business information is listed online, the more credible it appears to search engines.
Okay, so it's about consistency then.
Consistency is key.
Making sure your business name, address, and phone number are...
Yeah, you want to make sure that your NAP information...
Consistent across...
Just consistent across all listings.
Web, right.
Yeah, even a small discrepancy can confuse search engines.
So It's like my sweet number or something like
that. Yeah, like a missing sweet number or an abbreviation can potentially hurt your ranking.
Okay, gotcha. So I got to go back and double check.
Yeah, it's worth double checking to make sure everything's accurate.
Yeah, okay. And you mentioned voice search earlier.
Oh, yeah. Voice search is becoming huge.
So how does that tie into local SEO?
Well, people often use voice search to find local businesses.
Yeah.
You know, think about it. You're more likely to say, hey, Siri, find me a coffee shop near me than to type that entire phrase into a search bar.
That's true.
So local SEO needs to account for these conversational search queries.
Okay.
You know, make sure your website content answers common questions that people might ask when they're searching for businesses like yours.
So it's less about just like the keywords and more about like how people would.
It's about natural language.
Yeah,
think about how people actually speak.
So it's less about like coffee shops and more about coffee shops near me or best latte or
Joe
something.
Joe Buckley, anticipate those conversational queries and make sure your content is optimized for them.
Gotcha. Okay, this is fascinating. We've covered a lot.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We've talked about link building and mobile friendliness, social media, image optimization, and now local SEO.
Yeah, we've hit a lot of key points.
But I'm sure there's still more.
Oh, yeah. There's always more to learn with SEO.
Yeah.
But I think we've given people a good overview.
So what other strategies should people be aware of?
Well, another trend that's gaining momentum is...
So we've gone over a ton of different SEO tactics from the basics of keyword research and on-page optimization to all the way to link building and... local SEO.
Right. We've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I feel like there's probably some common pitfalls that people should be aware of.
Definitely.
Things that people might be doing wrong.
Absolutely. Even with the best intentions.
Yeah. Even when they're trying to do the right thing.
Right.
So I guess what are some of those common SEO traps that we should be aware of?
Well, one of the biggest mistakes I see is neglecting keyword research.
Yeah, it can be easy to just assume we know what people are searching for, right?
Yeah, but assumptions can be dangerous in SEO.
Right.
You know, you might think you know what people are searching for,
right,
but you could be way off. So it's really important to do your research.
So tools like, Google's Keyword Planner or ThemRush, those can actually tell you
exactly
what people are searching for.
Those tools can give you insights into search volume, competition, related keywords, you know?
Okay, so we need, data to back it up rather than just guessing.
You need data to guide your strategy.
Okay, and then what about, the content itself? Are there some common content mistakes?
Oh, yeah, creating thin or low quality content is a big one.
Yeah, it's tempting to, just stuff a bunch of keywords into a poorly written article and call it a day.
Yeah, but that's not going to fly.
Yeah.
You know, search engines are getting smarter all the time.
Okay.
They can tell when content is low quality.
Right.
So you really need to focus on creating content that's valuable, informative, and engaging for users.
So it's not just about, tricking the search engines.
No, it's about providing value.
That's about,
if you focus on providing value to your users, the rankings will follow.
Gotcha. Okay. And what about technical mistakes?
Yeah. One common technical mistake is neglecting on-page optimization.
Okay. So on-page optimization, remind me what that means.
So on-page optimization is all about optimizing the elements on your page.
Okay.
So your page titles, your headings, your meta descriptions, your image alt text, all that stuff.
Okay. So it's kind of like making sure that your storefront window is clean and inviting and displays.
You want to make sure that your page is appealing.
What you have to offer.
Both to search engines and to users.
Gotcha. So it's kind of, giving them those signals.
Exactly. It's all about sending the right signal.
Of what the page is about.
Yeah, make it clear what your page is about and why people should click on it.
Okay. And then along the same lines, making sure your website is mobile friendly.
Oh, yeah. That's crucial these days.
We talked about it before, but it's worth repeating, right?
Absolutely. More people than ever are browsing the web on their smartphones.
Yeah, that's true.
So if your website isn't mobile friendly,
right,
you're going to lose out on a lot of potential traffic.
Gotcha. Okay. And then we talked about link building before. Are there any common link building mistakes?
Yeah, one common mistake is focusing too much on quantity over quality.
So it's tempting to just get as many links as you can.
Right, but it's not just about the number of links. It's about the quality of those links.
Okay.
So a few high-quality links from authoritative websites are going to be much more valuable.
Gotcha.
Than hundreds of low-quality links from spammy sites.
So it's really about, I guess, like you said, building those relationships.
Yeah, build relationships, create great content, and the links will follow.
Yeah, having that quality content.
Exactly.
Okay, and then finally, I feel like patience is probably pretty important when it comes to SEO.
Oh, yeah, patience is key.
Yeah, it's not something that happens overnight, right?
Right, it's a long-term game.
It's not a magic button?
No magic button. Okay. It takes time and effort.
So just be patient.
Be patient, be consistent, and you'll see results.
Okay, so... we've talked about a lot.
We have.
You know, from the basics to some more advanced stuff and even some things to avoid.
Yeah, I think we've given people a lot to think about.
So I guess if you had to sum it all up, what's the most important takeaway for someone who's trying to, you know, boost their website traffic using SEO?
I would say the most important thing is to create a website that genuinely benefits users. You know, provide valuable, informative, engaging content.
Mm-hmm.
Make your site easy to navigate
yeah.
and optimize it for both search engines and human visitors.
So it's really about making a website you're proud to share with people.
Yeah, make a website you love
yeah.
and the rest will follow.
Okay. Well, this has been a really insightful deep dive into the world of SEO. Thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. It's been fun.
Yeah. And for everyone listening, I hope you... you know, learned a lot and maybe got some ideas
yeah.
of things you can apply to your own website.
Absolutely.
So think about, you know, what's that one action you can take today based on what we talked about? Maybe it's revisiting your keyword strategy or optimizing your page titles or checking your site's mobile friendliness. Whatever it is, just take that first step and start building that online presence. The world of SEO is, you know, it's always evolving, but the fundamentals remain the same. Create great content, optimize your site, and focus on providing that that positive user experience. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.